Praise is the charm. Providential care and his keeping his watched over us and protected us to this good hour. It's good to see all our visitors come to be with us this morning. And as always, we want to make you feel welcome. We want to make you feel like you're at home. And certainly, you are at home. You and one of God's children. And certainly, you're among family. We'd like to take this opportunity to welcome those of you, visitors. Of course, many of you now have come with some regularity to the point where I almost look at you like you're members. And so if I start looking at you like you're members, then I don't mean anything by it. I still want you to know we appreciate you as our guests. Friends of sister churches, friends of the community, friends of family, and certainly we're thankful for your presence. I have a few announcements to make this morning. First of all, the one that's been asked the most already this morning is, how's my wife, Laura? She is due today. So, anyway, I hope that the Lord will... Of course, I know he can take care of her better than I could. But it's always a nervous thing with prospects of something happening to me not being there. However, in this day of modern communication, she's just a phone call away from getting some kind of help. So hope that the Lord will have a good day and be a safe journey back, and all will be well. But I have a few appointments here to announce for Elder Sonny Piles. He's from Graham, Texas. These are going to take place in March. Lord willing, Tuesday, March the 18th, he'll be at the church at Pine. That's over in is it Troy?
Churchland?
It's near Tyro.
Tyro. It's on 150. So it's on 150. If they stay on 150 from right here, they'll eventually go right by the Pine Church.
Eventually, that's right. And I do mean eventually. It's not the edge of the earth, but you can almost see it there. But no, they'd be glad to have you. Elder Draper is the pastor there. As you know, he's the pastor at Reedsville Church also. And Lord willing, Elder Piles, he is a true, and I know that we're not to put our confidence in man or flesh, but I can honestly say in my life, he has been a true champion of the cross and of the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. Probably, no doubt, the smartest man I've ever met. Next to my dad. But he is indeed a wonderful gift. If you ever get a chance to hear him, it would serve you well. The Lord blesses him to preach. It's just untold amounts of treasure that he's brought before the saints of God. He will leave there and then go down into the Bear Creek Association. I had those appointments here. I know Brother Hound, Sister Jewel, you may want those. These churches are down around Liberty Hill, which is down near Albemarle, North Carolina, Union Grove. Then he comes back September, Saturday, March the 22nd, he'll be at the church at High Point. And then he goes back down towards, I guess, Union Grove, down near Meadow Creek and Bear Creek, and Mills Chapel, and he'll end up his appointments Tuesday, March 25th, at Parkview Church. And that's where my father is the pastor there. Many of you have been there, and his last appointment will be there, and I guess they'll take him to the airport here in Greensboro on Wednesday. But if you can't be there, please pray for the services. And if you can be there, if there's any way that you can be there, I strongly and highly encourage you to do so. I'll tell you, I don't know. It always was good for me to have a meeting sometime during the week, or it may be a string of appointments. It just kind of kept my batteries a little more charged than, you know, Sunday and then going a week and then Sunday again. So it would be well worth your while. And I hope that the Lord will bless those appointments. Are there any other announcements that need to be made? Sister Smith, I plan on going by to see her after the service here. I went by to see her after the last service, and she was doing okay. She had a little bit of a setback. Just weak in her legs, or can't get her legs. She's got some kind of infection in her leg, and it's causing her to be weak, where she can't get up and walk like she'd like. So she sent all her love, and we're going to have those of you here at the church to pray in the name of her.
Elder Newman, I'd like to apologize for the trouble that's at my apartment. I don't know who's here, but hopefully next person
will be here. It kind of scared me. When I turned the corner, I didn't see the church. All I saw was the trailer. I thought, has something happened here that I don't know about? So I thought, well, Brother Fields made some kind of provision. There's going to be a meeting here somewhere. But anyway, it looks like somebody just parked it.
I think they did. Okay. Offered another car.
That's fine. That's fine. We are, you know, certainly somebody's had a hard time or something needed some repairs. We don't mind them setting it there.
That's right.
Then again, it's not a public parking lot. So we want to make sure that we keep the building as looking as we can with the grounds. Appreciate the greenery here. Dot, I'm going to assume that that's by your hands. If it looks good, then you can rest assured it's green. Chances are it's either Dot or Deborah that are normally taking it upon themselves to do that. We're thankful for their efforts there. Appreciate also, I don't say this often, and I do, you know, here sometimes when we've got just a few hand number, singing, if it's relying on me to lead it, is kind of sparse. It's not as, I'm not as effective as a singer as I'd like to be, but I appreciate Brother Keith coming to be with us and helping us. And certainly, you know, the more voices you have, the better off it is. It's just easier to follow somebody. They've got a good singing voice. He does, and I appreciate his help also. I don't know of anything else to announce. So what we want to do, we want to stand and sing a song. Brother Keith, you know song number 480? It's on page 192. When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gained I count but loss, and for contempt so amazing, so divine.
verify with us, please.
Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, this again this morning we have the privilege of bowing our knees before thee. Realize, dear Father God, that by thy providence and care and keeping, we have been brought thus far in our lives. Lord, we want to thank thee for the beauty of this day. See thy Son rising, as it brings warmth to the earth and also warmed our hearts. We ask that thou would accept our praise and our thanksgiving to thee and to thy Son and to thy Holy Spirit. Father God, this morning we realize that many times cares and trials and troubles and temptations come against us sore. There are things that come against us, dear God, that seem to be sweep our lives away. We thank thee, dear Father, for the times when we've been blessed to be able to look up and realize that we are one of thy children. Feel within our breast the things that we hear and believe, the things that we read from thy word, are indeed the truth. And they are the foundation and the very anchors of our soul. Father, we confess before thee that we have sinned. We confess before thee that we come short of thy glory. There's many things of thy blessings, dear God, that we have taken for granted. Though we would always have them, Lord, and it was by our strength by which we were able to obtain them. Father God, we ask that thou would forgive us of our foolishness. Forgive us for we failed to thank thee and failed to ask thee as we ought. Father, how many times we have neglected to come to a throne of grace to find help in time of need. Father God, we thank thee for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that thou loved us so much that thou gave him to come into this world to die and put our sins away. We thank thee, Father, for the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, that which is set up and cannot be destroyed. Father, we ask that thou would help us to take these times here, that we might relish them and store them up, that we may feast on them in the days to come. We realize, dear God, that whenever we're out from among thy children, out here in the world, it seems that we're bombarded on every hand. We pray at this time, dear God, especially for our young, realizing that the sore temptations that they will face in their young lives, we ask that thou would give them wisdom to be able to discern good from evil and the strength and the courage to choose what's good. We ask, dear God, that thou would guide them for thy name's sake. We as parents pray for our children daily. But we ask thee again to remember them. Remember us as parents and grandparents, that we too might live a life that would be a good influence upon them. And we ask, dear God, that we could live our lives in such a way that others who would be outside the church, if nothing else, dear God, could give a good report and thank thee for it. Father God, we know not what to ask for. Many times we don't know how to pray. Seems many times that we ask amiss. We ask to consume it upon our own lust many times. Father, we ask thy forgiveness, and where this prayer would fall short, that it might please thee, dear Lord, to intercede in our behalf, that it might find a place before thy feet. Father, we ask that thou would remember those that are sick and afflicted. Oftentimes said, dear God, those that it was our duty to pray for, but It's not a duty, it's a privilege to do so. Thank thee that thou hast given us a place to where we can pour out our hearts and our petitions before thee. Father, we ask that thou would remember those who have lost loved ones. We realize that there are many who are sick, afflicted, and cast down. I pray for my wife that thou would watch over her while we're away. That thou would give her safe delivery of a child. Father God, we thank thee again for the beauty of this day. We thank thee for the privilege of living in this land. Despite her sins and her iniquities, dear God, there is no better country on the face of the earth. We ask that thou would bless our leaders to seek thee for wisdom, that we might see a return in the good things and godly principles in this land. But, O God, if we will not turn, and thou enterest into judgment against us, we ask that thou would remember thy people for thy name's sake. Remember those that love thy name and keep thy commandments. And we ask for grace and strength to do that which is right. We ask, dear God, that thou would take this service now and use it for thy name's honor and glory. And that none of it would be to the glory of man. None of it would be done in foolish pride or vanity. But that all would be said would be for thy name's honor and thy name's glory. And it's all these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus Christ, the risen Savior.
This morning I want to speak to you on a subject that I've never tried to preach on before. I've tried to preach on it in parts, but I've never taken this particular subject. Some of you may have heard some preaching on it before. You have, and that's fantastic. You may have more light on it than what I have. There's some things that I think that are neat. In my preaching here, I don't know what would be said if somebody were to take a census or you were to be polled after you left here today as to what the effect of my preaching has had. You may say none, and that's fine in one aspect. If you say that it's, I think the most detrimental thing would be that if somehow or another that it was done to man's honor and glory for my own benefit. That would be the greatest shame. If it was such that it did something to destroy or to harm the church. In other words, if Monticello Church was worse off today than they were the day that I came here, that too would be a shame. I think one of the best things that could probably be said about a preacher was that whenever he left it, it was in no worse shape than it was when he got there. If there had been many other men who had left churches in the same way, what better places we would have had. We would have had more places to go worship than what we have today. But my efforts here, I have tried, and if anybody has been here regularly, you know that I have advocated and always will advocate that the King James 1611 translation of the Bible is the supreme, the inerrant Word of God. It is the only rule and faith of practice for the old Baptist. You go read most of the articles of faith. I don't care which association you go to, which church you go to. Most churches will have in their articles of faith stating that they believe that the AD 1611 King James Bible is the only rule and practice that should be used for the government of God's church. That being the case, I want to come to you again this morning. I've gone different avenues on this to try to show that the God's Word is exactly that. That it is a means by which we gain defense and strength that being proven by the Lord Jesus Christ himself when he was tempted of Satan. Remember how Satan came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be turned into bread. And Jesus Christ said, as it is written. Well, what's he referring to when it says, as it is written? He's referring to a scripture from over in the Old Testament. And he quotes that to Satan. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Satan tempts him again. Takes him up into a higher place on top of the temple and says, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. In other words, jump off of here, for it is written that the angels shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And remember again, the Lord goes and says, as it is written. He goes back to the Old Testament. Now, think about this for a moment. You know, a lot of these kids are getting ready to see Star Wars again. I've seen it on my TV. It's all over the place. Star Wars mania. And you see these weapons that they have, all these swords, these lightsabers, and you hear them make the weird noises, and they're these magnificent sword fights. I think about Robin Hood, Errol Flynn, when he had the shadow of those sword fights, he's going up the steps. Wars. It doesn't matter what weapon you think of in your mind. Here was the Prince of Darkness. And here was the Prince of Peace. And the weapon that the Lord used on Satan was something that you and I have access to. As it is written, as it is written, as it is written. All three times that Satan tempted the Lord, he went to the Old Testament and quoted, as it is written. He quoted from, thus saith the Lord. Now that ought to tell us something. If that's what the Prince of Peace used to drive Satan off, what ought we to be using? What ought we to quote? In other words, it was a good enough weapon for the Lord Jesus Christ. It ought also to be a good enough weapon for us. To show you some of the intricacies of the Bible, and to show you that this thing is not just some book that's been slapped together. There's all kinds of criticism against the Bible. There has never been a book on the face of the earth that has ever been supplanted and has ever been railed upon, has ever been questioned, has ever been torn down, rewritten, and that's just, and let me say this, when you get all these different translations, I'll say this in all the kindness that I can possibly find in my own teeny heart. But you know what, my friends? Whenever the Satan came on the scene, the very first thing he questioned was the Word of God. And here now we have men who we feel to be educated and scholarly who then come back and say, well, that was just a nice myth or a nice story that was taught to teach a good lesson. My friends, if any man ever says that, I'll tell you right now, I have write him off from that point there on. Because if he's going to say that this was just a nice story that was written and it was to teach some good lessons, what a foolish thing. I want to take God's word and realize that some of the arguments in it, and you go, and there's a multitude of preaching on this. But just to give you some idea of where our modern translations have come from, they come from a man by the name of Origen. You go trace it out as far as the manuscripts, some of the manuscripts that I'm talking about, the Vaticanus, the Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus. Those were where most of your modern transcripts come from. Those came from a man, if you trace it out, it was a man by the name of Origen, who believed that Jesus Christ was a created being. In other words, there was no eternal sonship of Jesus Christ. He was created just like you and I were created. He was created just like the angels were created. And not only that, that's just one of the doctrines that was just a pure heresy, but that was one of the things that he believed. There was a man by the name of Eusebius that also learned after Origen. And after Eusebius, there was a man by the name of Jerome. And after Jerome, there was men that followed later on after transcripts that came from Origen to Eusebius to Jerome, two men by the name of Westcott and Hort. Westcott and Hort then translated what we have now, and most of your modern translations come from manuscripts that Westcott and Hort believed and taught in and also looked at and rewrote according to their own beliefs. And most of your modern Bibles come from transcripts that have been handled and tampered with by two men by the name of Westcott and Horton. And not only that, that was not the only thing those two men believed, that Jesus Christ was just a created being. But it was an ungodly sort of thing. And the things have been so subtle. Remember, Satan come on the scene changing one word. One word. He said, "Ye shall not surely die." God said, "Ye shall surely die." Satan put in one word and changed the entire meaning of what was said. "Ye shall not surely die." Just rest assured on this. Satan is no less powerful today than he was in the Garden of Eden. As a matter of fact, he's probably more powerful today than he was in the Garden of Eden. You say, why is that? Because he's got a greater sin bed. He's got a greater sin bed. Somebody will say, well, the law of evolution teaches us that man is constantly getting better. Well, let's just look at that. If man is constantly getting better, then why are 3 out of 5 marriages ended in divorce? Why are the prisons full and having, right now, one of the biggest issues is build more prisons? Why? Now, if man's constantly getting better, why are we building more prisons? And you go right on and on. What's the greatest crisis facing this country? One of the greatest crises. Is it not drugs? Drugs of our youth? That's what scares me to death. I'm going to soon have 3, Lord willing. There's a drug problem. Guess what? That's nothing new. That's foretold in the book of Revelation, if you want to go study it out. It talks about the Babel. And talks about that she shall be seduced by the sorceries. The sorcery, and that scripture just left my mind. But what, you go look it up in the Greek, and what that, and I'll get it and I'll come back to it, Lord willing. What it has reference to is, you go look at the word, it's pharmakia. Pharmakia, and that word means pharmacy. You think we'll ever get rid of drugs in this world? Not in this day and time. Not in this day and time. So you've got a problem there. There's problems everywhere. If man's evolving, then why is he not getting better? Now you say, well, some things are evolving. Some things are getting better. Sure, they're getting better, maybe. I saw the average age of a woman now is 79.2 years. The average age of a man is 72.8. Some things are getting better. The life expectancy is getting longer. Some things will get better. But for the most part, things are not getting better. Let me ask you this. Do you folks lock your doors at night when you go home? I bet if you go over and drive your car to the mall, you lock your car, don't you? I do too. There was a day and time, my friends, when you could leave your house and didn't have to worry about somebody coming in it. You could leave it unlocked. Not this day and age, is it? There was a day when a youngster could get in a car and hitchhike across this country and work all the way across this land if they wanted to. You going to pick up a hitchhiker today? Better not. It doesn't take long to realize that things are not as good as they used to be. Now, if man is evolving and it's a gradual process of getting better, then why does it seem that things, are, when it comes to humankind and nature, are getting worse? The truth is, God's word says that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. That word is true. What you're hearing out here in this world is a bunch of baloney. And what I'm hearing is inconsistent. So getting back to the Word of God, we either have a sure word or we don't. Some folks say, or a lot of critics, modern critics, say today, that how do you know there was not some...